We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Gridiron Podcast, Freddie Banks edition, cornerbacks coach, physically distant, but perhaps never closer. Mike Edwards, the Hall of Famer, the head coach, Jay Norvell. I'm John Ramey. Coach Banks, welcome. First year at Nevada, first time on the Gridiron Podcast. You don't seem nervous. You don't seem nervous. That speaks highly of your character, I think.
No, I think I'm all right. You guys are far away enough, so I'm all right.
We're going to get into your background, and we're going to get into your path, your journey in football. But one thing jumps off the page for me looking at your bio and your history in the game. North Dakota State. For people who know college football, that is the FCS powerhouse, dynasty. You played there and you coached there. What's that about for people who don't know?
It's a rich, rich, rich tradition that's really been going on since the 60s. There's like three losing seasons in program history. So I was just a small piece of that, and a lot of people were just small pieces of that. You came in, and I was a guy that worked my way. I was a special teamer that worked my way into a starting role my senior year. But that program is built of a lot of guys that are selfless and a lot of guys that just work hard for years and years. I mean, the old timers come back and they sing the same song, and you hear things around there, you know, on and on that are, this is how we operate. This is what we do. This is what we don't do. And that's why it's going and lasted so long, I think.
Coach, I know that that was your experience as a player at Iowa. I know that that has been a central theme to your tenure at the University of Nevada. This celebration of tradition and culture and understanding that to be a part of a program is to be part of a larger thing. Was that part of how Coach Banks resonated with you through the interview process?
Absolutely. I think Coach Banks, first of all, he's highly, highly intelligent and a great communicator and a great teacher. And that's so important as a coach, but he's been raised in a program very similar to the Nevada tradition. You know, self-sacrifice, you know, blue collar, hardworking, and really selfless. And you know, he's got a great reverence for the game, I guess is what I like to say. You know, he's a great family man. He's a great mentor. You know, we're in the middle of the recruiting process right now. And that's one of the things I talk to parents about is just, you know, there's a few things that I'm so proud of about Nevada, but I'm so proud of our school. I'm so proud of the academics that we have. I'm so proud of the tradition that Nevada has, what it stands for. And right now I'm really proud of our coaching staff because I think we've got, you know, men of great character. They're great mentors. And not only are they very, very good football teachers, but they're even better people. And Freddie's got a great family. He's got a beautiful wife and two great kids. And his players are his family. They always have been. You know, and he's got some highly technical skills as a coach that, you know, I've spent a lot of my career, all of my career on offense and really coached at the highest level at receiver in the NFL. And one of the things when you get to the National Football League, if you don't know how to release and run routes versus man coverage, you have no chance to survive. And so I've spent a good part of my life learning and teaching how to beat bump and run coverage. And there's a lot of technical things that go into that. And a lot of people don't know it. They really don't. You know, and just talking to Freddie and obviously Coach Ward, Coach Freddie, and he's got a long history with him, but just listening to hear him talk about the game and how he teaches is really detailed and really knowledgeable. So I'm so excited about that. And I've talked, you know, I say this to our recruits, but the three toughest coaches I've ever coached against defensively were Bill Belichick when I was with the Indianapolis Colts, Jimmy Johnson when he was at Miami and I was with the Colts. They used to play this press cover four where their corners would be waiting for you on the line of scrimmage and to play man to man. And then when I was at Oklahoma, we played Alabama and Nick Saban. They all played press coverage where they take the air out of the defense and they make receivers play fundamentally well. That's what Freddie played. That's what Freddie has coached in his career, and he's an expert at teaching that style of coverage. And so we're just really, really excited to have him.
Mike, I know it's a defensive guy, but I mean, you could be nice, right?
Yeah. I'm seasoned. I'm an old guy. I know exactly, you know, I'm over the Madonic versus Edwards D line versus O line thing. I'm too old for that stuff now.
But oh, we gotta bring Madonic in here and let him and Mike have a
We could just cage match. All day.
What, can we have a Nevada balls. Drill via Zoom?
Yeah.
Do some hand placement stuff.
We need an alumni Nevada drill.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, get a couple canes and a walker and maybe get some O2 out there. You're good to go. Jeez. Hey, Coach Banks, talk about the press coverage, which is one of my favorites. It's just like an O-line versus D-line mentality, I feel. And correct me if I'm wrong. This body doesn't go out there on the edge and try to be fast, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite thing to coach? Was that your favorite thing to do as a player? Tell us about the press coverage, how you like it and coach it.
I guess you just, you know, without taking you through a whole clinic, you know, over the years, you start recruiting guys that can run and guys that can tackle. And in the recruiting process, that's kind of where it started for me about, you know, 8 years ago. You go out and you try to get the best athletes that you can get. Whether he's the starting quarterback, whether he's the running back, whether he's playing corner. And those are the guys that you want. If you're in a small town, find the best athlete. And how can I get this dude to play as fast on the field, get him on the field as fast as possible, but also get him playing really fast. And we really kind of take him through a teacher progression. And we try to teach him, all right, what to do, what's my alignment, what's my assignment, what's my key. And then, you know, for the cornerback position, it's a lot of how we're doing it, which gets into the press, the body movement, working lateral, making sure that we're not allowing vertical releases, how to keep them patient at the line of scrimmage, you know, where our eyes at. So, you know, all of that stuff, hand placement and things like that is important, but it really started for me in recruiting process. You know, to teach a former quarterback who's the best guy on his team to backpedal is tough. But if I get anybody can work lateral and step replace and get his hands up. So, and then you get to see those guys, you recruit the best athletes and maybe he wasn't a DB. They end up making plays on the ball because they had the ball in their hands their whole life. offensive side or playing quarterback, receiver, whatever it might be. So I liked it as a player. And then, you know, I don't know that I was as technical as a player, obviously. I've grown a lot as a coach and really just finding each individual player, how can I get him to be good? You got to be able to tweak each guy. Everybody's not the same. Everybody doesn't have the same flexibility and the same body type and the same reaction. So I think that's what sets, even like Coach talks about the National Football League, everybody doesn't use the same exact technique because all those guys are different. I've got to find a way to get every single guy playing at a high level, even though it's still using the same press. So you got to tweak guys, and you got to be open, and you got to, you know, have enough knowledge to know that my longer guys like to get closer, and my shorter guys like to, they're all cheating off a little bit because they're going to use their feet. My longer guys, they like to get hands on, and I got to, you know, fight those issues with those guys. So it's a fun process. And then the most competitive guys that you meet, they want to play press. So it really helps you in recruiting when you get a recruit on the phone and say, look, 5% of the time we're going to start at the line of scrimmage in front of guy's face. And if he looks at you and says, you know, all right, really, coach, the guy that we want. You tell them that and they say, coach, let's go. I want to do it. Then I'm, all right, that might be my guy.
For sure.
So,
hey, Freddie, can you tell Mike and John, because I think this is really important, what does it mean to deny a vertical release? How does that affect the game?
Well, when you line up in front of a guy, I think the biggest thing that you know is, you know, everybody's heard it. Even as offensive linemen, your former offensive line, you don't want to open the gate.
Yeah.
Want to start with a guy inside of our cylinder, inside of my framework, and what I do is I'll put a bag behind the guy while we do releases. And if you run into that bag, then the receiver release vertical. We want every release to go lateral at a 45-degree angle, really throwing off the timing of the route. Really creating a circle, if a half circle around the receiver, which is going to push him more inside to the post safety or more outside to the sideline, and really disrupting all of the timing that they use during 7-on-7 routes on air. We really want to disrupt all that. We want to make them waste all of that time they do in the summer and get hands on. And sometimes you may not get hands on them, and when you get really good at it, they start running away from you. And the receiver coach is yelling, no, stack them and stay on yours. Well, we're doing a good job if he's running away and we just work to the upfield shoulder or low shoulder when he's working inside and play. So vertical releases is something that we talk about a lot. We use a three release rule. Release vertical. We got to get two hands on the guy. Vertical inside my cylinder. If he's outside my cylinder, then I'm going to work my feet at a 45-degree angle and work to the cutoff, whether it's inside or outside. So, and we hold in there. Like Coach was talking about, guys sit there at the line of scrimmage. It takes some patience. We're going to sit there and not going vertical. That's something that we work on a lot.
It's really a cat and mouse game, and it's just like O linemen and D linemen, Mike. It's
the 101s, yeah.
Yeah, wide receivers and corner. It's a cat and mouse game, and it's funny. I got an unusual story. I don't think I've ever told you this, Freddie. So the 2 years that I was with the Raiders, you know, I love talking to animals. You know, it's like talking to a human encyclopedia when you talk to him, but Willie Brown was an assistant coach at the time. He just recently passed away. Great player. And he was an all-pro corner for the Raiders. Well, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, Al Davis, he would go to the predominantly black colleges and he would recruit this great talent, right? And Willie Brown was an outside linebacker, defensive end type player. And Al brought him, and they got to mini camp, and he threw him at corner. And because he was used to playing close to the line of scrimmage, he didn't know anything about covering people. So he just lined up on the receiver and just beat him up on the line and just ran with him. And I swear to God, Al Davis said that was the start of bump and run coverage. And Willie Brown became one of the best corners in the history of the NFL. And, you know, Biletnikoff was with the Raiders at that time. So Biletnikoff started all these techniques on how to defeat bump and run coverage. So his low stance, he'd tape his forearms up. And there's this hand-to-hand combat that happens at the line of scrimmage. So I learned a lot of that from Freddie Biletnikoff and Willie Brown when I was with the Raiders. And just to hear them talk about the history of that kind of bump and run coverage is just – and then the Raiders had so many great corners, you know, Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes, all those great Hall of Fame corners that they had over the years. But that was an Al Davis deal. He loved playing bump and run coverage, and he loved great corners. And so – but I thought that was great. He said Willie Brown invented bump and run. And if you knew Willie Brown, that would make you smile to know that information. So
Willie Brown had a pick six in a Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes.
I want to say Super Bowl 15.
Yes. I guess Vikings maybe.
No, that's earlier. That's the one that John Madden won.
Yes. No. Yes.
No. Coach Banks, so I know alignment, assignment, and key now. Right.
Yeah.
And so you're coaching me up.
Hey, trust me. The full teaching progression.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have your work cut out for you because there have been 0 seconds that have elapsed in my 42 years on earth during which I have thought I might be a cornerback. So
what position would it be, John?
Catcher. Slow.
Hey, John. Slow. Hey, John, I know you got a question, but before I lose this thought, I don't know if you guys have been watching The Last Dance.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a – matter of fact, I went and watched it again last night. But the last episode had a great piece on Rodman and how Rodman, you know, after the second game, he left and missed practice and then came back. And, you know, but they had these clips of Rodman – the next game playing, and he played with such phenomenal effort. And if you ever played pickup basketball and you ever had that guy that was just covering you and he's breathing on you and his hands are on you all the time, and it's just irritating, you know. And there's a great clip of Rodman just all over Karl Malone, just banging on him, falling on each other. They both fall down, they're pushing and shoving. And that's kind of what it's like when you play against somebody that plays bump and run on you all game. It's just frustrating because the easiest thing for a receiver is just – you just want to run. You just want to run. But as soon as somebody comes up on you and you know they're going to be there all day long, oh, it's just really, really – it's frustrating. It's irritating. It takes the air out of the coverage, and it also puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback to throw accurately when he plays against that kind of coverage. You know, when we used to play against New England when I was with the Colts, we had smaller receivers. So we had Marvin Harrison. Reggie was a little bigger, but they basically went into those games and they were going to stretch the rule book. And they were going to grab and hold those guys because their strength was to be able to run. And they did the same thing against the Rams in the Super Bowl, the greatest show on turf. I mean, they basically grabbed and held and beat those receivers up to where they couldn't get off the line. And it disrupted their timing. And it really affected them. And so it's very, very frustrating to play against that style. And that's why we want to play it at Nevada.
Coach Banks, as I was saying, like you're coaching us up, and this is obviously such an essential part of the vision for Nevada defense. What was your path to becoming a coach? You were a player. Did you know you would be a coach when you were a player?
You know what? I didn't think I did, but I wanted to be like a counselor when I got done. I wanted to be like a guidance counselor. And my freshman year, I remember, you know, I found a paper back in my email, and there was a paper on me writing it about being a coach, but it hadn't gone through my mind for a while. And I went into my head coach at the time and said, "Coach, I'm thinking about getting into this thing." I thought I just wanted to get my master's, and I thought I just wanted to do that, but I just fell in love with seeing guys improve over time. I think that's what you really like. And really getting those guys to work over, you know, watching practice one to practice eight. Okay, it makes me feel better about practice eight. And then eight to practice 15. All right, we're actually getting better. So, and then you see them in games and make plays. I think that's the fun part. And then you see guys grow up and they become men. And they become, you know, all my players, majority of them, I'm still in contact with them today. I shoot them texts every now and again. I might find a clip of a kid that I coached at Nichols, and I'll text him, "Hey, I'm teaching guys off of this clip," laughing out loud, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so it's fun, and you get to see these dudes. They've got babies now, and I started out my first job. I was 22 years old, and I think there was a guy in my room that was 25. So you had to, you know, you had to gain respect from those guys and make sure you knew what you were talking about, which you study more. And you make sure you prepare more when guys are relying on you to coach them. But I don't want to say it was a plan, but, you know, it kind of just fell that way. And, you know, it's been fun. And I don't see myself doing anything else right now. And people talk about retirement. I don't ever want to retire.
You're too young to retire.
I know. I mean, I don't know how these old timers talk about retirement. I'm like, I can't even think about, you know, I've got 50 years left.
Well, I would have to say that you are in a realm, the coaching realm, is probably the best guidance counselor you could probably ever be. Just keep in touch with guys. I in my neighborhood, the guy that I coached 15 years ago for high school moved with his family right across the way, and he still talks about the things we did in 2005. It's like it is one of the best guiding counseling jobs out there, is to be a coach and a teacher. So kudos. It's good to have you.
Yeah. One of the best things that I remember from one of my players, this happened in 2017. We used to train eye discipline, so we would put tape in their eyes right here so I can see their helmet be down on the hip. And he shot me a text and said, "Coach, do you remember when you used to put those blinders on us so we could have good eye discipline?" And he said, "Coach, that's the type of focus." He was working at for the New Orleans Pelicans. And he was doing sales. He said, "That's the type of focus that I had. It made me increase my sales."
That's awesome.
And I'm like, "Dewey, what are you talking about?" And he called me and explained. I'm like, "Man, that's awesome. I don't know how I helped." But it made me feel good. So you create those impacts and relations. They last forever.
I'm curious because I feel like this exists in every sport or many sports where there are certain elements or positions that are kind of overlooked on the tactical, strategic, intellectual side, right? I think there's a tendency just to think that defensive backs, cornerbacks, are just really fast guys who maybe aren't tall enough to be receivers. And that, and I don't think that's a fair thought, but that is a sentiment that may exist within the game. But you're talking about eye discipline. You're talking about alignment, assignment, and key. You're talking about different techniques. Is the thing that separates a player for you at this level, at the collegiate level, their ability to be fast on the field, or is it, or is everybody kind of athletic enough already? And it's the guys who can develop the techniques and deploy them in the heat of battle efficiently.
Well, I'll be, the faster they are, the better. It makes my job easier. We want to go out and recruit fast guys, and then we mold them into what we want and recruit really good athletes. You know, I take coaching like this, as far as football standpoint. I want to recruit the best athletes I can, the best character that I can, because the guys that really enjoy football, they're going to improve the most. And to be good at football, I don't care what you say, in college, it's not like the NBA where you can show up and they're ready to play right away. Everybody has to be developed from Alabama all the way down to Midwestern State. So, you know, I really believe that. And the guys that want to develop and the guys that's working on this technique day in and day out, they improve the most and you can rely on them. So it's a technical part of it, but I wouldn't say everybody's even. I mean, we want to get athletic guys, and there's no doubt about it. We want the fastest guy that can jump the highest. But we want to get that guy and make him really, really disciplined. Give me the best athlete, make him really, really disciplined. And now you sit back on game day and you can relax. You know that he's going to do his job.
Hey, Coach Banks, hey, you said something really interesting. How do you evaluate character when you're talking to recruits? How do you find out about a kid, about his character?
It's really hard when you get on the phone at first, Coach. It has to be over time to get the guys to be comfortable enough with you to show them who they – because everybody's – if you interview, that's the best you got when you, the first time you talk to somebody. I want to talk to you over and over and over again. I want to talk to your high school coach. I want to go to the high school and ask the counselor, do you know Billy Joe? How does he treat the girls? Okay, I know he's a good person. Ask that coach, and then you get to know him. And when you call those guys, what is he doing? If he's working out all the time and he's really working out, so what I do is, you know, I have, hey, FaceTime. I want to see your face. Let me see what you're doing. He's sweating every time I talk to this guy. It's hard to fake it, you know, for too long. I'm talking to you from June all the way to October. It's hard to fake that long. So you really do a good job of getting to know them, and you have conversations. You know, I want to know, you know, coaches say the dog, everybody looking for the dog, but it's really hard. Who really, really are going to lay it on, who's going to lay it on the line in the game? And you got to figure that out. Whether it's, you know, it really is just getting to know the guy, getting to know everybody around him, talking to coaches, talking to teammates. It's really cool when you have a guy on your team that played with him. You can ask him, how tough is this guy? And then you got to ask the right questions. Not just how tough is he, that's a broad question. What does he do in these specific situations? When the game's on the line, is he going to do his job? Can I rely on him? When there's a tackle to be made, is he going to do it? And you ask coaches, what is, they'll tell you how great he is on his, on, you know, oh, he's great. Tell me about what he's like on his worst day. What is he like on his worst day? Tell me about him. Coach, he gets quiet or he does this. And they'll explain it to you and you listen to the answers. And over the years, certain players that you coach, you kind of come across them on accident. And a group of players that I coach, like this dude was talented, but he had something extra. Find guys like him.
That's what makes this guy a really good recruiter, because, you know, you just got to keep asking questions about people until you find out what you need to find out. And it's not easy anymore. I mean, a lot of people don't ask enough questions when you recruit somebody. And so, you know, and Freddie's got a really great reputation as an excellent recruiter, because he knows talent, but he also knows people. And a lot of that's building a relationship. I mean, it takes time. It really takes time to get to know players and their families, and Freddie does a great job of that.
Coach Banks, there are few positions in sports that have such individual failure so celebrated, right? I guess maybe the slugger in baseball who is prone to strike out would be the only comparable thing that can jump into my mind. But how do you coach guys through the inevitable, very public failure that can happen at the cornerback position?
That's a good question. I think the one thing that guys have to understand is we talked about the discipline of it, and you try to get those guys to execute. But if you look at the cornerback position, it's different between linebacker and defensive line. If a D-line gets reached one play, all right, the linebacker will make him right, might go for 10 yards, okay? The safety may miss a tackle, the corner makes him right, we bang him down, it's not a big deal. We have to get it across to our guys that we're going to get around 4 to 5 plays our way. Like, you get a grade, it's called make the play grade. When the ball came your way, did you make the play or did you not? And really, when you look down to it, we play press, so it increases a little bit. We might get 6. You get over 6 plays away your game, it's a busy, busy day. And that's in the passing game, and that's also in the run game. You know, whether we got a crack replacing in my play to make or whether the ball's thrown my way. And it really comes down to just training them over and over and over and understanding you got to come back and play again. And it comes, you know, we talk about it in meetings and we talk about how you're going to respond, and you're really training the guys. So it's a daily process. I don't know if it's one thing that you can do, but they have to fail in practice. They have to get beat. We're going to talk about that. But there's some guys, we're going to jog it back. Let's go again. Let's line up. Let's do it again and compete again and trust your technique again. And sometimes an offensive player makes a great play. Well, we're going to go back and do it again. What do we need to correct on that and do it again? So it's the perseverance and the fight that you got to have. You got to train it in the guys. You have to. It's good to recruit it, but you can also train it in guys every single day with one-on-ones. You're going to lose a lot of one-on-ones in a full year. We're training you to fight for the ball and to finish. But when you get in those situations in the game and the guy's caught a ball on you, he caught one, well, let's make sure he doesn't catch 5. So you got to have some mindset. People say next play. We just say that play's over with. What, you know, if a guy has a bad play, and we talk about it in life, you know, something goes wrong in life, you got 5 minutes to be, you know, upset about it. Time to move on. My guys have 5 seconds. We got to move on. In football, 5 seconds, jog it back, let's go again. Life, dog died, you got 5 minutes to be upset, go close the door, cry about it. We got to get back up and go again. It's a process.
Love it.
Oh, it's good stuff, man.
Coach Norvell, you've done it again. I mean, we've had the new assistant coaches on, and yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to put my hand to the ground. I mean,
no doubt.
Coach Banks, you got me fired up.
I just can't wait till we start coaching the guys. It's gonna be fun. We got a talented group that, and they're hungry too. So it's gonna be a fun group to coach.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Gridiron Podcast. The Hall of Famer Mike Edwards, the head coach Jay Norvell, the new cornerbacks coach Freddie Banks. I'm John Ramey. So long, everybody.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.